Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57 to the end of the chapter. The cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
Please leave your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 9. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have all had times when the comforts and the pleasures and just the safe, comfortable lives we live have become the thing that we are living for. And Lord, we pray this morning as we hear from your word, as we are challenged about the cost of following you, we pray that you would convict our hearts, that we would recognize what it cost for you to send your one and only Son, that we would recognize the amazing gift that you have given us through Christ Jesus, and that we would live our lives according to your glory, we pray. Amen. Still a bit high. There we go. As you'd all be aware, we've had some enormous rains over the last few weeks. And with all this rain, the grass is growing at an incredible rate. I got here this morning and I thought, I feel a bit sorry for whoever's on the mowing roster this month. You know, the dust that had normally been blowing around at this time of year is now planted. It's going well. But the grass and the weeds are growing at an enormous rate. Now, I've mentioned on many other occasions that I am absolutely not a gardener. I inherited pretty much all of my gardening prowess from my grandfather, who was very well known for mowing over my grandmother's bulbs every time he got a mower out, much to my grandmother's dismay. And so, with my gardening heritage in mind, all this rain has caused me some challenges. Like many of us, I've been watching on with alarm as cat heads are virtually leaping out of the ground on a daily basis. Now, I know that most would have sprayed them by now, but the spray that I was using, I haven't had any joy with. So instead, I've been going around digging these weeds up a few at a time. Now, this method, I think, would work pretty well if I was completely committed to the task. The truth is, I usually just pull out a few as I walk past and think that that might just slowly bring down the numbers. I never really fully commit to the task of day by day pulling out these weeds. I want them gone, but I'm not willing to pay the price. And so with all of this rain, the weeds have quickly gotten out of hand. Up until recently, I didn't even know it was possible for a cathead plant to look like a small bush. But I can tell you, down near my shed, there are some that look like a small bush. If I had been committed to getting rid of them and digging them out or spraying them or doing something with more determination, they would not be there, or at least not as many. If I had gone over there and done it every afternoon until they were gone, I wouldn't have the problem that I have now. And obviously the problem's escalated. I wanted the problem to go away, but I wasn't willing to pay the cost. I wanted it to go away on my terms and at my convenience. So these cat heads have soon got extremely out of control. Sadly, we can often treat our walk with the Lord in a very similar way. We all want the blessings of knowing and being known by Jesus. I'm sure we all want to be freed from the fear of death and have hope and life in him. We all want the security of knowing that we have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. But just like my lack of commitment to the task of getting rid of these cat heads, we often want these blessings on our own terms. We often want to serve Jesus, but we want to serve him when it's convenient for us, when it doesn't cost us anything or interfere with our comfortable lives. We might come to church on Sunday to do our little bit for God, but once we've left this building, are we living as salt and light among our community, among our work colleagues, our friends, and our family? Or are we being slowly and surely lulled to sleep by the incredibly comfortable lives that we live? The lure of living for ourselves, for our own comfort, is something that we're all constantly being faced with. But in this morning's passage, we are being reminded that there is a cost to following Jesus, and that the mission that we have been given is urgent. In the verses we're looking at this morning, Jesus encounters three men along the road, three men with three different barriers to them following Jesus. Now let's have a look at the first one. In verses 57 to 58, we're being shown that following Jesus is costly. Follow along in your Bibles, please. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And we're not told what prompted this man to make this incredible statement of allegiance. Was it because he'd seen Jesus perform some incredible miracle? Was it because he'd heard him teach with authority? We don't know. But for whatever reason, whatever it was that prompted this man to give his allegiance to Jesus or declare it, Jesus knew this man's heart. Jesus saw straight through it. He knew that he wasn't committed to following Christ at any cost. And so he replied, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." What was Jesus saying? He was saying that those who want to follow him must give up the comfortable lives that they want to live for themselves and account the cost of living for him. There's a problem, isn't there, in this? How do we reconcile that with the incredibly comfortable lives that we live here in the West, in our safe and relatively persecution-free country? What Jesus is saying is that even though we have all of these nice things around us, we enjoy the blessings of security, of a home, a comfortable place to live, we must be prepared to give up those things at any point for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the good news of the kingdom of God. Before the Lord led me to go to Bible college, led Tamara and I to go to Bible college, I really, really loved being my own boss. I really enjoyed the life that we were living. My dream, even from a young boy, was to grow up and have my own family and to set up my own workshop, my own mechanics workshop, and be my own boss. I really enjoyed what I was doing. But when God called, when he put a burden on our hearts to serve him in a different way, we walked away from all that. We let go and we followed him. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you before, but most of you would know that I've built a big shed on our property here in Erie Park. But what you may not know is how pointless, how futile it felt while I was building it. I spent a lot of time wondering why I was even bothering. Not because I didn't want a big shed or have a reason because I couldn't fill it, but because I knew that God could call us away at any point to a different mission, and I would have to leave it behind too. The cost of following Christ isn't something that only pastors and missionaries have to bear. There are costs for everyone who wants to follow Christ. Now, maybe Jesus will never call you to leave your home, your occupation, your friends, and your family. But to be a follower of Jesus is to live as though he might at any time. To follow Jesus, we must hold on to the things of this life loosely. We must be willing to give up what we cannot keep in order to gain what we cannot lose. We must be willing to count the cost of following Jesus. Let's look at the second one in verses 56 to 60. We're being shown that following Jesus is urgent. He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." These are incredibly hard words, aren't they? But there is more going on in these verses than what it seems on the surface. On the surface, this man's response seems completely reasonable, and Jesus' response seems utterly heartless. Why would Jesus be asking this man to neglect his responsibility to honour his father and his mother by burying his father? That's only if his father had already passed away. The truth is that in the first century in Palestine, if this man's father was already dead, it would be extremely unusual for him to be anywhere other than with his family and his friends as they mourned their loss. He certainly wouldn't have been wandering around on the road. He wouldn't have been anywhere for Jesus to speak to him. It seems far more likely, and many scholars say, that the father was probably old and near death, and that this man was putting off following Jesus for another time. Now, of course, caring for our family, particularly those who are aging and those who are sick, is important. But notice Jesus' response. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, notice that he's used the word dead here twice. The first time he uses it, he's referring to those who are spiritually dead, those who do not follow Christ. And the second time, of course, he's talking about the father, if the physical death. What Jesus is saying is, let those who belong to this world worry about the cares of this life. Let them care about physical things. But you who believe, you who trust in Jesus, must live for the age to come. Jesus is showing that there is a great urgency to following him. This man seems to be placing conditions on when he'll be willing to follow. He was unwilling to count the cost of following Jesus. Maybe after his father's funeral. Maybe in another season of life. Maybe after next harvest. Maybe after this project or that. This man did not understand the urgency of the call to follow him, and so he put it off for another time. Okay, let's look at the third one. In verses 61 to 62, we're being shown that following Jesus requires focus. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Again, we're not told why this man volunteered his allegiance. But either way, this man was willing to follow Jesus as long as he could say goodbye to his family. Now, doesn't that sound like a completely reasonable request? What's half an hour or even half a day compared to a lifetime of following Jesus? But what Jesus is saying in these verses is that following him requires focus. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, in those days, there was no GPS-guided tractors that ran along their designated AB lines. In those days, the farmer would walk behind cattle and they would guide the plough. Now, of course, if they took their eye off the plough and looked back, well, the lines would start to zig and zag and get out of whack. The farmer needed to keep his focus on where that plough was going if it was going to go where he wanted it to go. Now, with this statement, Jesus is alluding to 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah showed Elisha, those names are very similar, the commitment it would take for him to follow. 1 Kings 19, verses 19 to 21. I'm going to read those verses. Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." Elijah replied, "Go back. What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burnt the ploughing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. This is the kind of focus that following Jesus requires. This is what Jesus was alluding to. Elisha burnt the tools of his trade. He culled the cattle that were pulling the plough. He cut off his ties with the past and removed every option for him to return to the old way. And this is what Jesus requires of all those who follow him. He's requiring us to follow him without looking back, trusting that he will provide. Jesus was saying that anyone who wants to keep their options open, anyone who would like to hedge their bets between this life and the next, is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Because following Jesus requires focus. Focus on him. In this morning's passage, we've been challenged to count the cost of following Jesus. And we've seen that this is an urgent call to follow him. The verses that we've been looking at this morning are hard and challenging verses. They're also a very helpful reminder of what is required to follow Jesus. Something very noticeable about these verses, very unlike any earthly leader, is that Jesus turns away three willing followers. Turns away three willing followers. This isn't how you build a kingdom here on earth. A fan base devoted to you would be a great way to start some sort of earthly kingdom. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth. Jesus wasn't interested in half-hearted, conditional followers. He wanted followers who are willing to find their sufficiency in him. He wanted followers whose identity was bound with him and what he had done for them. Followers who are willing to count the costs in this age in order to live for the next, for the age to come. Followers willing to count the cost of loving difficult people, to count the cost of giving until it hurts, to count the cost of pouring out oneself for the ministry of Christ and his church, to count the cost of living a life out of step with our culture, to count the cost of being disliked, in the occasional sense of having nowhere to lay our heads, not knowing what is ahead, and sometimes without earthly comfort or security. This is the cost of following Christ. His mission is urgent and it requires our complete attention. But let's not forget that the reward of following Christ far outweighs any cost. As Peter says in 1 Peter, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. And even though following Jesus is costly, the reward far outweighs the cost. Let's come before the Lord now in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would convict our hearts of the things in this life that we are holding on to too tightly, whether they be physical, whether they be the way we things want to be, whether they be our preferences, Lord, we pray that you would help us to submit our will to yours. We pray that you would help us to submit our direction for our lives to you. And we pray that you would help us to live for your glory, for your kingdom and not ours. Lord, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown us through Christ Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to live in the light of this mercy, that others who don't know you might see your light shining through us, that they might come to know you as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.